We have looked at the gifts of healings, plural, double plurality, and the causes of healing, as we saw, is very diverse. Therefore, the healings will also, the gifts of healings will be very diverse. Now, a third area of the double plurality is that the gifts of healings, double plural, can also be because there are different anointings that are required for healing. As you can see, there are healings, there are sickness caused by demons, natural causes, accidents, virus, bacteria, fungi, and the human beings have spirit, soul, and body. And so all the complex areas of causes of sickness and diseases. And sometimes God has particular anointings given to different men of God to specialize. In a natural medical world, you sometimes have an ear specialist, and then you have a nerve specialist, and then you have a brain specialist, and sometimes you have a skin specialist. And so, even in a natural world, some doctors are general practitioner, but there are those who go beyond general practitioner into a specialized field. So can you imagine a doctor who just specializes in nerves? And so sometimes you have a particular sickness that involves different parts of your body. So you send your ear to the ear specialist, you send your nerves to the nerve specialist, and you send your skin to the skin specialist, and it costs you a whole bundle, right? So there are different causes in the natural, and so human beings try to do that. In the spiritual, sometimes there are special anointings for particular healings. And throughout Pentecostal history, we have observed that sometimes people have a particular anointing for certain types of healing. And when they pray for the area, they almost have 100% success. But when they pray for other types of healing, they may have 50% success or 60% success. And like people like F.F. Bosworth, when he prays for deaf and dumb, he always gets 100%. Always. And in fact, he's so successful that at the beginning of every healing meeting, he will always boldly call for a deaf person to come forward and challenge them in the Lord. That if God is real, He will heal this person. Will you believe? He used that challenge because he has developed his faith and anointing so much in that area. And that will start the ball rolling in the healing flow. And then when people see deaf and dumb being healed, then their faith grows for other areas. And all the other sicknesses are prayed for. And then other evangelists, I know, I'm not sure he's still alive. I know F.F. Bosworth has gone to be with the Lord. Others like Joe Jordan, he specializes in bone healing. And he's always has, how do we mean by specialize? What we say is that as a phenomena, when they pray for those areas, they get 100% success. But praying for other healings, they don't get as high a percentage of healing success. He specializes and he prays for those areas. William Branham, although he's successful in almost all areas, but particularly when it comes to cancer and all those, it's instantaneous. Huge, big lumps will just disappear right before the eyes of people. And there are sometimes specialization in different types of healing. And if we observe some of the ministries of healing in the book of Acts, you notice that in the book of Acts, as we look at one evangelist here, called Philip, the evangelist, when he went forth to preach during the dispersion, the Bible talks about some of the miracles that took place in verse 4 to verse 8 of Acts chapter 8. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Do you notice that there is a particular emphasis on the paralyzed and lame? That you may not notice before. That there seems to be an inclination of healings of people who were paralyzed and lame, as well as the demon possessed. Now, some ministries, some ministries call themselves deliverance ministries, personally, a lot of the people who classify themselves as deliverance ministries sometimes are off balance on their theology, maybe they need to relate to other parts of the body of Christ. What I found is sometimes specialists in a particular field lose contact with the body of Christ. And they don't fellowship. I mean, usually when a ministry is successful in their own right, they don't find that they're obligated to keep in touch with other body of Christ because they have all their needs met. But that is very unscriptural. And I always believe in fellowship among ministers. And it's important because it helps you keep your balance. So sometimes a prophet, I know a few good prophets, you know, who are really called to be prophets. I know some prophets in Asia, and I know a few of them here too. But there are a few that I know, and I know that God called them to be prophets. Their prophetic ministry is recognized, but they keep to themselves, isolated all the time. As a result, what happens when you're isolated? Let's say I take one of you, lock you up away from society where you have no radio, no television, no news for 10 years. Surely you'll be left behind in a lot of social things. The world changes, knowledge increases, and society changes. You come out of it still with your old 10 year ago mentality. You're going to look like an oddball and a misfit in society. Because can you imagine people, even today, people are finding that the computer revolution is so fast that they can't keep up with it. They're finding that some of their jobs are becoming irrelevant. And because things are moving so fast. The day will come when they begin to invent, when word processing and speech becomes so much a part of computer, you do away with the typist completely. A whole job becomes irrelevant as technology moves. So we realize that in the world that's happening, and so sometimes when a person is in the kingdom of God and they isolate themselves instead of following Jesus' command to be one with the rest of the world, you leave them alone for 5-10 years, they will develop strange theology, extreme theology, by virtue of their isolation. So it's important that when God calls specialists to different fields, that we keep relating to the rest of the body of Christ. Because if a person is called to be a prophet and a real prophet, they will not be afraid of the apostles, the pastors, or the evangelists, or the teachers. Let me tell you, sometimes prophets don't like pastors. And a lot of pastors sometimes don't like prophets. And sometimes evangelists don't like pastors. But whether you like it or not, you got no choice, because you never choose your brothers and sisters in the Lord. God chose them. He's our Father. So you must relate. And when you relate, what happens? The prophet who is so accusative all the time, and he fellowships with a pastor, his accusative finger becomes a friendly pat. And so his prophetic ministry becomes more balanced. Rather than he keep all alone and he isolate a prophet for 10 years, I tell you, when he comes out, the way he prophesy is as if he has an arrow shooting at everyone he prophesy. He give the right word, but at the same time he sure hurts. Right? I know that some of them are called to afflict the comforted, but you know, that is not, you know, that should be continued with comforting too. So it's important to relate to the whole body of Christ, to be balanced. And so in the body of Christ, in the realm just particularly of healing, and in terms of healing, the gifts of healings are not just for evangelists or pastors, they're for all the fivefold ministries, and each one may demonstrate different things. God does call some people to particular types of healing. It is possible that God calls some people to be deliverance ministry. But my advice, if anyone called to that, make sure they relate to other aspects of the body of Christ so that their theology is balanced. And it is possible that God also calls some people to the what we call inner healing ministry. Inner healing ministry. In the inner healing ministry, it's strange in the body of Christ, sometimes we argue over semantics, definitions, and words without realizing that words are only a language of expression. We should look at what our heart is trying to say. And so at one point, sometimes if you have been in the Kenneth Hagin ministry or Copeland or faith healing ministry for long, and your theology is brought up under the faith movement, you never accept inner healing. I know most faith churches don't accept inner healing and don't even recognize it. Why? Because they believe that you're perfect in Christ. So what's there to heal? Your spirit is perfect. And so they completely reject the whole aspect of inner healing, which is important. But those who are brought up in the inner healing side or on the deliverance side, sometimes they've been so long in it that the very inner healing, the inner healing counseling or renunciation becomes a panacea in itself. It becomes a sort of addiction to that counseling, an addiction to that therapy, so that you're never free completely. You're always dependent. Every little problem, call this inner healing. I need inner healing. And then you get out, you go out there, you go scolded by two people in your workplace. Oh, I need inner healing now. You know? It can in itself become a sort of wrong addiction, and you produce weaklings. You don't produce strong Christians. You be Christians who are too dependent on each other so that they cannot be effective. So, on the one hand, we don't want to swing to this other extreme where you're so independent that you need no one because you are perfect in Christ. So. But at the same time, you don't want to swing to the other extreme where you can so dependent on a methodology for therapy. So, we need to be balanced and realize that we need a sort of dependence on one another. But yet you need a sense of responsibility where there are some problems you must solve yourself with the Lord. You cannot always be going to someone to solve your problems all the time, because even in the natural world, that's not how society works. Right? For society to run, everyone needs to have their own responsibility, and then everyone relates to one another for the whole corporate good. And so the same way in the area of the gifts of healing and function, God does give some people a specialized gift of healing. And blessed are those who recognize not just their gift, but their limitations. Sometimes, because it takes humility to recognize where God never called you to be. And it's just almost like in the business world, you know, people want to progress and they want to make money. And they thought, you know, with all these fund managers, they thought, you know, it's important to know what stock to buy. It is as important to know when to sell, which is the part they forget. And so, you know, as a result, many buy, but they never sell. And as the stock keeps going down, they hold on. They become emotionally so tied up to their stock that they don't realize that they are buying it for a time, and there's a time to buy and a time to sell. And it's not easy, it's harder to sell than it is to buy. Although it's tough for people to buy. So, in the same way, when we look at this in the spiritual world, it is important to know what God called you to be, as well what God didn't call you to be. And draw the line. And so, when you know what God never called you to be, you will become in line with other body of Christ, and you call them to help where you know you need help. People like, for example, Howard Carter, who was used by God, he and his wife were used by God in the early charismatic Pentecostal ministry. Howard Carter recognized his gift is to pray for people to receive the baptism in the Spirit. In those days, it was very rare. When he prayed for people to receive baptism in the Spirit, he has 100% success in helping them. And then his wife has a gift of healing. And so the interesting thing, there was this particular incident when someone came for the healing, and then you know what he did? He says, look, I can pray for you too in God's word, but since my wife is here and she has the gift, will you go to her? That takes humility to recognize not just where your gift is, but where your limitations are. And of course, if there's no other person available, he should pray and expect God to work a miracle. And in the same way, the gifts of healing work, where God will give different people healing in different areas. And we need to recognize that it's another area of specialization in the gifts of healing. A third area called anointings. There's an anointing sometimes to heal bones, anointing to heal cancers, and anointing to heal, sometimes anointing for creative miracles. And so there are different types of anointing, and it's a vast realm, and I don't think there's an end to it, because more and more sicknesses come with technology. Who knows, there's an anointing to heal problems caused by nuclear radiation, and which never exists before, but now, you know, could be true and real. And so there are many types of anointing, and there could be sometimes an anointing to bring healing in areas of natural causes, many, many causes. It's important to recognize there's a third avenue for why the plurality is there. Gifts of healings. Because some men have gifts for healing a particular sickness, which they may not be strong in another area of healing. Interesting to watch that Philip has a strong dimension in healing of the lame and the paralyzed, as well as you see the demon spirits crying out. And in Acts 19, you see a different incident here of Paul's healing ministry. And Acts 19, Paul was preaching in the school of one Tyrannus, and he was in Ephesus. And it tells us in Acts 19 verse 11 onwards, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them." Now notice that it talks about diseases. It didn't emphasize lame and paralyzed, although I realized there was a paralyzed man healed in Acts 14 when Paul shouted to him, saw that he had faith. But here notice the diseases. And this is not the first time. In fact, later on after this story in the book of Acts, Paul was on his way to Rome, and they got shipwrecked along the way, and they got into one island where the ruler was Publius, and Publius' father-in-law was sick with some sort of fever, and Paul brought healing to laying on hands. That was another healing of a disease, a bacteria cause or virus cause or whatever. So you notice that there is a slant in the kind of anointing that is taking place. In this passage also, you bring a fourth possibility for the gifts of healing. And that is methodology. Methodology. There is, there can be many methods of channeling the same healing anointing. And sometimes God would tie a ministry to a particular method. And here we see God using handkerchiefs and aprons in Paul's life to bring healing. And some ministries, when they bring healing, they always need to lay hands. Oral Roberts is one of them. And so even if you have 5,000 people, he will just sit there and have you pass by and put hands on you. Because that is the way that God wants him to release the healing anointing in his life. And that was the method that God has for him. And so the man of God or the woman of God has to be faithful to the method that God ordained for their life. Because the healing was limited in his hands. Catherine Kuhlman, on the other hand, didn't need to touch a person. And she calls out the healing through the word of knowledge. Now that, in a sense, is a different methodology. Kenneth Hagin, who incidentally is still alive, his healing anointing is also in his hands. So, one of the things that happened when Catherine Kuhlman went to be with the Lord and died, she had a meeting that was pre-arranged. And you know who they called to take Catherine Kuhlman's meeting? Kenneth Hagin. And when Kenneth Hagin went to that meeting, he told them, "Look, I'm no Catherine Kuhlman. I cannot do what she do. However, if you know him, he's a fantastic man of faith. He himself was given up to die, but he got healed. And he does have a healing anointing in his life. And there's a particular time, I believe it was 1980, in his convention in Rhema, that the anointing of God was so strong on him that he ran through an entire stadium, and most of the people found out the power of God. So God did work in his life in fantastic ways too, with healing. But when he stood before a crowd that came for Catherine Kuhlman's healing meeting, and Catherine Kuhlman had just died, or gone to be with the Lord, and He told the crowd, he's not Catherine Coleman. He says, this is the way I do it. He says, I preach the word, and you need healing, you come, I'll put my hands on you. Whether the people are disappointed or not, you can't help it because he is called to a particular method. And God ordained that it will flow in his life through his hands.
That child said he wasn't a people-pleaser.
Amen. He obeyed the Lord. Correct. Correct. So each person heals differently. And who knows? Some people who are musical, they may be healing through their music. And I believe people like David Ingalls would be used by God as a player's music and heal. And I know one particular evangelist from South Africa. He was here in Australia in Brisbane years ago, but he's gone back. Andre is his name. And so he's also a musician. And when he ministers, he always goes to the piano and ministers, and then he calls out sicknesses to be healed. So that's a particular way. And so each person who has a gift of healing, whether they be in the fivefold or not in the fivefold, which means general body of Christ, if you're not in the fivefold, you also may need to discover the way God wants you to channel the healing anointing. And so some people, they may have to use oil because that's the way God ordained. And so you got to discover it in your life. And flow with the particular way, particular style that God works in your life. You will know it in your heart, the way God will channel it. And sometimes you've got to hold a person's hand, you hold a person's hand. Now, William Branham, when he ministers, he always must hold the person by the hand. And as he holds the person by the hand, he has the gift called a discerning of sicknesses and disease. And he will be able to tell you exactly what problem you have of sickness. Like a doctor diagnosis. But this is from the spiritual realm. And then, he'll pray for the healing and it is done. So, he doesn't minister the same way. And so he will have a long line of people to do that. As God called each one. So there's a fourth dimension in terms of the gifts of healing flowing into people's life. It's an interesting dimension when we talk about healing. However, whatever the gifts, whatever the manifestations, whatever the style, whatever the methods, whatever the causes of sicknesses that need the gifts of healing, we must always remember that it's based on the cross of Jesus. It is not based on the man of God. You're not going to heal because of the man of God. You're not going to be healed because of a particular method. You're going to be healed because Jesus took your sicknesses and disease on the cross. And the man of God standing there, or that little lady praying for you, or whatever method that was used, is the release of the promise at Calvary that He Himself has taken our sicknesses and disease and borne them on Himself. And by His stripes, we were healed. And so every one of us need to look to Jesus for the healing to be effective. The interesting thing is, when we turn our eyes away from Jesus, and we focus just on the gifts or the methods, the healing anointing actually diminishes. Until the people turn their eyes back on Jesus, and the healing anointing rises again. And then it can continue to be strong in people's life. That's important for us to note in order for the healing of Jesus to take place. And at all times, even though there are many, many causes of sickness and disease, and sometimes, as we say, in some situations where people walk out of the will of God and as a result open themselves for sickness and disease, and sometimes they got to go through the things to learn the lessons before the healing takes place, yet, we must always proclaim that it's God's will to heal all. And as usual, we say again, if we tell people out in the world that sometimes God saves people, sometimes God don't save people, the devil will come along and says, you are among those that he chooses not to save. So our message to the world is that God wants to save you. Come to Him. We know that there will be some like Pharaoh who will harden their hearts and reject God. But That, let's God deal with that. That's not our message. Our message is the gospel is for all. The same way, healing is a promise for all. And if we tell people it's God's will to heal some and not God's will to heal others, the devil will come alongside and tell the people who are sick that it's not God's will for them to be healed. So it's important that the message that Jesus heals, Jesus loves, and we don't understand every cause, we don't understand every problem, and we don't understand sometimes why the healing doesn't always take place. But as we grow in Christ, we need to give this message out and tell people, because it's better to die trying, at least you live in hope, than to never try at all. And in a sense, finally, even if the person doesn't get physical relief, most people who pray for healing in the right way without condemnation usually have their soul and their spirit so blessed in God, because they're fellowshipping with God. And that in the end, when they go to be with God, isn't that also in a sense the ultimate healing? And also, besides that, remember again, the eyes must be on Jesus. A lot of people who are not healed is because they're looking everywhere. Even looking at healing by itself can blind us looking at Jesus. And that in itself, we are so focused on the healing we forgot to see the healer. That in itself can cancel our healing. And a lot of people are so stressed out wanting the healing that if only they will forget about their healing for one moment, forget about their pain for one moment, and just live their life worshipping Jesus for who He is, the healer, the blessed one. And a lot of times, this is a strange thing. Catherine Kuhlman's meeting, while people are praying for others, where they themselves are sick, but they saw someone else worse, and while they're praying for the other person, they themselves got healed. And you know, the greatest sickness that all humans face is the sickness of selfishness. It is that one thing that has destroyed all of humankind. And if we are cured of our selfishness, and we become selfless, loving creatures, full of the love of God, worshippers of God, everything else will flow together. Amen. And God will cause us to have a blessed life. People like Johnny Erickson, right? I'm sure she wants to be healed of an accident, that paralysis that was caused by swimming accident. But look at her life. She's joyful, full of God's love. There's something that's flowing in her life. And we should say, thank God that she can see Jesus and not just see what He can do. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You.